Are you ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube video. I've got an awesome guest this week. His name is Matt Rad, and him and his wife, Liz, have been involved in building, buying, flipping, making money from digital assets for a number of years. And they also now run a training facility essentially called eBusiness Institute, which teaches beginners how to buy and scale websites up to thousands, 5, 10, 15,000. I think we were chatting just now, and some of the successful students were up around the $30,000-$40,000 a month mark. So
this episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show, and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Matt, how are you? I know you're on the opposite side of the world. The weather yes. here in the UK is terrible, and it's sunny, is really sunny down under. So how are you?
Very well. Thanks, Adam. It's awesome to be here. And yeah, thanks for having me on. It's a bit of a different situation from where you are weather-wise at the moment, but yes. We're all in this exciting place of, you know, building websites. So very cool to be here. I'm talking about my favorite topic, niche websites, particularly content sites.
Awesome. Yeah, I think our audience is going to get loads of value out of this, because you've been, take us back for people that don't know of you and Liz. Take us back to even before you were involved in the digital space, because you've been involved in entrepreneurship, I think, since you finished university. What did you do? What's that background story?
Well, so as you just said, these days, and actually since, I think, for the last decade or so since 2009, we've made all our money online, and we've done really well through buying and selling websites. Everyone knows us for that. But what people don't know is that Liz and I met at uni studying zoology. So we were experts in red kangaroos. That's what I was doing an honors in. But the thing was, I was always driven as a kid. We grew up on farms here in Australia, and I wanted freedom, and I wanted financial freedom. I came from a family that we didn't have any money. I think that always drove me. So I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but just had no idea. I knew no entrepreneurs. My dad was a farm manager. He wasn't even the farm owner, just the manager. But we loved it. It was awesome, but it was very, very tough, particularly for my parents in the recession that we had back in Australia. So I think that's what drove me to get into business. As soon as I finished uni, we had an opportunity to buy this little tiny manufacturing business here in Australia, and I was hooked from day one. And we turned it around, totally self-taught in business. It's something we're still to this day very proud of. We had it for many years, and we built it into obviously a big business, and we're exporting. Yeah. And through that, what we learned was, I think from doing our science background, we learned how to systemize businesses, and we were really good at, and we're just young and so keen. We were able to free up our time. So it was a manufacturing business, and we just started buying and selling other businesses. And that's basically how we got into it. This game of buying and selling businesses, we absolutely loved it. We bought multiple businesses. And yeah. Adam, and anyone listening, here's why this is important. Our background is buying and selling bricks and mortar businesses, and we're doing deals up to around 20 mil. So we got into business brokering as well. But our specialty was businesses involving like manufacturing or wholesale import. So they involve a lot of physical stock. To this day, we never touch websites that involve physical stock. So I want to say up front,
we
do none of that anymore, because it was as a young entrepreneur back then. So we've been doing, that was 30 odd years ago. So I'm in my 50s now. And one of the things we struggled with bricks and mortar businesses was all the capital we had to outlay to hold physical inventory in a warehouse somewhere. And sure, it was, long-term it's lucrative, but hear the words long-term. Whereas with websites, let's flip it around. As soon as we got into websites, I say this to everyone, we're like kids in a candy shop. It's like, this is the ultimate business model. We Liz and I made a rule. We are never doing e-commerce online. Yeah. We're never going back to physical products. We don't do any drop shipping. We've only ever made money online, and we've done well out of AdSense sites and affiliate sites and membership sites or info products. That's our specialty, those ones. So that's our story in a nutshell. And we've learned a lot over the last 35 years we've been in business together. So Liz and I work together side by side 24/7.
Yeah. Along with our kids. Such a cool dynamic working with your wife. Because I don't know how I would manage working next with my wife. But it's cool you made that work.
Yeah, people do spin out at that, and it's interesting on this journey, we've been fortunate enough. I think what's helped us a lot is we network with a lot of very successful business owners and entrepreneurs, because that's who we're typically advising or helping in mergers and acquisitions and stuff, and so that's always been one of the core things that we've done. And it's funny, a lot of them are older guys, and they look at Liz and I and go, how do you two work together? So we turn up at someone's business and we're there helping them, and they just kind of go, I could not work with my wife in the business. But then we have met other very successful entrepreneurs who are husband and wife, and they're like us, and it's interesting. Yeah. The ones that we've met like that buy and sell businesses as well, which is really interesting. So, but we have learned a lot over the years, working together. And luckily Liz is really good on the marketing side. And the two of us have helped each other learn sales. And we now translate that to online. And so what we're really lucky about, what I'm really fortunate about, is Liz is really good as an educator. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so successful for us making that transition to also teaching beginners, particularly professional people or high income earners who've never been online or never built a website or bought a website. I think that's one of the things I'm really fortunate about, or all of us in our community are fortunate about. We've got Liz who's just gifted at educating. She's taught me how to help people do that. So that's one of our passions these days, is teaching people what we've done over basically since 2009 with websites, but also I guess a lot of our experience comes into that from buying and selling businesses at the high end many years ago. I should add that was a very stressful time of our lives, and that's also the reason why we quit and just went online, because we had kids, young kids, and we wanted to work from home. And, it's stressful doing big deals with private equity, venture capital, high net worths and stuff. Sounds glamorous, but, it's not as easy as it looks.
Compared to traditional business models, digital publishing, content publishing, building and flipping websites is so simple compared to that. But
leverage. Well, to answer your question, how did we get into it? It was kind of what I just said. It was.
Yeah,
it was around the GFC. So everyone remember in 2008, 2009 here in Australia, like particularly in America, it was bad then. But so we decided to have a family. It was pretty stressful what we're doing. We're doing these full-on deals. Back then we were living in Sydney in Australia, which is where a lot of big mergers and acquisitions are going on in the space. Yeah. And we were kind of like, the go-to young spotters to find these little manufacturing bit. They were called little manufacturing businesses with EBITs of a mil to five mil. That was our specialty, selling, helping high net worths acquire those sorts of assets. And Liz started to look around. She wanted to work from home and wanted more freedom in our lives. And we were just obsessed by business though. We loved all the business models and we're looking around for the ideal business model. And we started hearing about this thing called the internet. And we realized we met a few people who were making money online. And we said to ourselves, like, I remember Liz saying to me, Matt, we should be doing what we do with bricks and mortar businesses, but online, and it'll be a lot easier. And the biggest problem we had back then, I don't know whether you remember these days, Adam, but back then we had to build websites with Dreamweaver or just raw code HTML. And I couldn't do it. That was my biggest fear. The technical side was really scary. And we actually, believe it or not, we put it off for 2 years. So we first started hearing about it back in 2005, 2006. We kind of put it off. Then when we had kids, Liz decided to go for it and she built her first website. And it only just broke even. She was selling an ebook. And then luckily a mentor said to her, if you're breaking even off that thing, that's actually pretty darn good. I reckon you could pump it. So we did lots of things to it and we were just learning on the go. Yeah. And sure enough, she got it working. She got it to making about $5,000 a month.
Wow. Your first kind of experience with a site then.
That was hard yards though. Like I don't want people to think that was a walk in the park or anything like that. A lot of stress. Liz nearly walked away. There's a lot of mindset stuff, but we're young entrepreneurs. We're used to taking huge risks and you don't have to do that anymore, by the way, guys. That's the other thing about websites, because we realized that's when Liz said Liz is a real go-getter. She's full on she's impatient. And she said, this is too slow. I can't stand building sites. Let's just do what we've always done. I'm going to go out there and buy them. And this was before Flipper existed. People never did that. We just had to figure it out. So we went onto forums. You'll find this interesting. This sounds bizarre, but the first site we actually ever bought, we bought it off eBay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is really, because back then, no one knew how to sell websites. And then also we, of course, hung out on the forum back then was called SitePoint, which later, that's where they spun off Flipper, but we bought sites off SitePoint. And also because of our background of buying and selling bricks and mortar businesses, this has always been a key strategy that we teach and something that worked really well for us. And I'm still teaching it to this day as a secret strategy for buying websites, door knocking. So of course you can't door knock. We were buying websites in the States. We're in Australia. That's cold call emailing people saying, hey, do you want to sell your website? And that worked brilliantly for us.
How successful has that been? Because I've only ever had a small little bit of that.
Most one people give it up.
There's one to this day, I think it's called. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, the site, and I've emailed them about, it's got to be 40 times now. It's bear, like the animal, bear-tracker.com. Look at that site. It looks like it's been made in Dreamweaver from probably 2005. Yep. Hasn't been updated. Beautiful. Tons of traffic, could do with a massive overhaul. It's not monetized. And I imagine someone's probably forgotten about that I don't know. But sites like that would be the dream to buy if you could buy those, improve them, new content.
And
I couldn't get a reply from that.
Well, that's how we used to get going with it. And, you know, we'd get people. It's just like door knocking for when you do that to buy bricks and mortar business. It's the same thing. Most people don't do it because it's really easy work, but it's really low hit rate. But when you get it, so we just fell back to what we know. So, and remember at the time, there was no broker platforms back then. So all there was literally was eBay, and the sites on there were, and still, like, you know, they were not good. But that was the only place sellers could think of to sell. But we sorted through them and we found one that we liked. And we still were trying to figure out all this internet stuff as well. So we were doing courses. We were – and also self-learning, and we're learning SEO. And when we did buy our first actual site, it was really exciting for us. It actually turned into a massive winner. It was from a private deal, We just got talking to this guy, lovely guy, and bought this site for $19,000. And we just all agreed, okay, we'll pay you 10 times the monthly. He was talking about. And back then, that's what we did. So it was making $1,900 a month is US. And literally, we'd already learnt a fair bit through building some sites, and particularly by hand coding them. And like, well, that was Liz. I don't do the technical stuff, but she knew a lot. She was really, really good. And we knew about Google Analytics. And when we did the due diligence, so for us, due diligence, we live and breathe by due diligence. And a lot of due diligence is talking to people. So we'd get on Skype. Back then it was Skype. And we found it really easy because we'd done this before, bought and sold so many businesses, and you know, we're professionals at it. For us, literally, it was so much fun. I remember, with our young kids running around and stuff, but they knew, they already seen mum and dad do lots of business deals from home, so they knew they had to be quiet if we're on Skype. That was pretty much our main challenge. Other than that, it was just work as usual, but heaps more fun working from home with really nice people. It was just conversations on Skype, figuring out how to do diligence. Like based on our experience with businesses, we just had to adjust a few things, working out what was online. But geez, it worked well. Like that site, literally within a week of owning it, we just went through the Google Analytics and we figured out there was masses of traffic coming into a couple of pages. We just better monetize those pages. Next thing you know, we literally doubled it the next month. It was making $3,000. And then it came with a bunch of other sites. So I remember in the old days when you used to buy websites, typically you'd get handed heaps of domain names and a bunch of old, what the owners would think were crappy sites. Well, out of that whole site, we built a whole portfolio and we went hard in that niche, very competitive niche. And I got really good at SEO. And we used to do a lot of paid advertising as well. So we're good at that. Liz figured that out. So I'm not the smart one.
Was that paid advertising?
No. We didn't do that. But just to sell ebooks and info products. Okay. Liz was doing a lot of paid traffic with Google Ads. And as I'm sure you know, and anyone who's a bit more experienced knows, that's pretty complex. And again, it was like an epiphany for us when we started buying sites. I started saying to Liz, geez, we're spending, it was megabucks. Even when we'd start out, we're spending anywhere up to $50,000 a month, just, on certain sites. We were doing big stuff. We were making good money. We went for it. We really went for it. And it was like an epiphany. I said to Liz, if I can dial in this SEO thing, we're going to make an extra $50,000 a month. That's ours to keep. And it worked. It literally worked. That's why I'm so passionate about SEO. Now I know SEO's changed a bit and you could say it's harder. It's not, it is a little bit, I suppose, but you've got to invest a bit more, particularly into content. But that to me is really exciting because the other big advantage of SEO is another reason that we suddenly realized in early days, if you do SEO, which is basically creating good content, even back then, that's what SEO was, that actually becomes an asset. So we're always about owning an asset. People don't realize, we used to sell this to all our friends. They say, what the hell, how the hell do you make money? I go, well, it's not just off the ads. I'm creating an asset. Because every piece of content that I create, one day I'm going to sell that website, and that's part of the asset of the site. You've got to view it as an asset. And that was super exciting for us as well. So it was pretty cool. Like, as you can see, you can probably see my excitement. We literally just love the online space. That was our joy in life, other than our kids, of course. But, business-wise, and we just said we will never, ever buy a bricks and mortar business ever again. Once it dialed in for us, I think within that first year, we were very, very excited. It was just, this is what we are doing. And we're just going to build up another big portfolio again, just like we used to with bricks and mortar businesses. Because we've always owned multiple businesses. And that was our other key strategy. We own multiple websites.
That's one question lots of people always ask us is should they start one website? Should they start a portfolio? Should they and I guess there's risk both sides. Portfolio is great because you've got insulation from updates or changes in different business models. But lots of people, I think, sometimes can fall into the trap of starting a portfolio but not having enough resources to give each site enough. So, love to hear what you teach and what you advise to your students if they're starting out. What would you say to a beginner? Do you go in one site portfolio? How would they structure it?
What we teach, and we only teach what we've done. So, like I said, we don't teach e-commerce and stuff. And so, why is that important? For many, many years, we have always taught go for a portfolio. So, all things being equal, now when you first start out, we teach just buy a really small site, jump on the Flipper or something, and buy a small site under $1,000 just to learn. Don't worry if it's perfect, just to learn the ropes. As you're learning, though, you should set your goals, or we call it setting intentions, is to have a portfolio of websites. Now, in the old days when we first started teaching this, I think we first started teaching like 10 years ago, that portfolio could be up to 50 websites. And that's even for, you know, intermediate people. Now, what we say, though, we realize over the years, we need to scale that back. Most people can't handle a portfolio of 50 websites unless you're a professional and you've got multiple teams behind you. We've done it. But even for us, it's too much. And if it's too much for Matt and Liz, it's going to be way too much for our clients. These days, we prefer for ourselves, for our own portfolio, and also for our clients' sake, we say the sweet spot from what we've seen happening out there is like 10 money-making websites. That's still a big portfolio. But if you think about it, even if you just want a bit of a nice side hustle, or if you do want to replace your income, say it's a six-figure income you're looking to replace because you're working in a job, okay, you can do this over multiple. You're not going to do that straight away if you're working, right? Obviously, it's going to take a couple of years, but that's why we say set a goal for 10 sites. Some of them only have to make a couple hundred bucks a month. Then a couple make a couple of grand a month. Within that level, generally, you'll hit the magic figure of here in Australia, across our community, the first major milestone that people want to hit is $10,000 a month. And so we find a portfolio of 10 sites, simple, small niche sites can do that. Now, it's really interesting with all the Google updates and what's happening out there in the marketplace. And also through my networking, talking with people with much bigger websites, like seven-figure and eight-figure websites, I'm coming to the conclusion that maybe it's even fine to focus on, even depending on your situation in life, you know, focusing on one or two sites is super smart as well. So I'm kind of starting to change my tune a bit. But, you know, traditionally we have always taught sweet spot, 10 portfolio of 10 websites, get a team up. Once you do that, basically you've got financial security for life, because you've got the skills then to go bigger if you want, or to really focus in.
Yeah, we're really aligned on that ethos, I think, because we say if you've got the resources, and that's the key, if you've got the resources to build a portfolio, then you should. And then it's almost akin to, you know, a horse race. You've got multiple horses in the race, and then you see one or two of them taking the lead, and then you can use the cash flow from the others to double down on those couple of winners. And before you know it, you've got, all right, a portfolio, but you've got a couple of really big winners then, and you can really double down on
them. Yeah. And it's interesting, Adam, that's what we've found over the years across our own portfolio. No matter what size it was, it was always the 80-20 rule. 20% of them would make us all the money, the majority. And I've seen it repeated. You think how many people we've coached over the years, and I get to see their portfolios, plus all my friends who do this as well. All of us say the same. It's weird. Sometimes you can't pick it either. There'll be so typically out of a portfolio of 10 sites, guaranteed there will be one to two of them that make all the money. And I'm thinking right now of some of our most successful students right this minute. And if they listen to this, they'll be nodding their heads. Yep, Matt, you've helped me on those two sites. And they're making mega bucks out of them they're sitting on potentially six and seven figure incomes or websites with those. And it's just the two sites, but they've still got the other sites. Now, the good thing too, as a beginner or someone learning this, it's not lost value in those other sites, because you're learning. While you're building this up, you're constantly learning. And I think that's a really smart strategy as well. That's a good thing.
And you don't have to give up on them. So I have this constant battle with one specific client of ours. So she's got a portfolio of six sites, exactly what you said. Two of them are doing really well. Two are doing okay in the middle. And then two of them, I mean, they're the ones which didn't work quite so well out of her six. And she keeps coming back to one of the two which are not doing quite well. What can we do? I'm like, don't worry about it. That's fine. Just give it time. Don't put no more resources in. Focus on the big ones. They're the winners. They're the winners now. You want to double down on those ones.
Yeah.
And, but it's funny because we keep having the same. We've had the same conversation for maybe almost a year now. I'm trying to steer the direction back to the. Always trying to steer the direction back. You know.
Well, what we do is we teach a strategy. We just use the triage concept: A, B, and C sites. So like in hospitals, they triage things. So we've always done that, and we teach that to our clients. When you look at your portfolio, you know, because one of the common questions we get off our clients is, Matt, what you just said, actually, Adam, like with your client, what site should we focus on here? We've got, you know, three that are going well, we've got these, should I focus on this? And what we teach is just triage it. Have your A-grade sites, which where you put most of your focus on and your mental energy. Yep. And then your B grade sites, and then the C grade sites, it stands C for CRAP. And then, but here's the funny thing that I've said to people, be careful, because some of those C grades, now that I've been in this game for like quite a long time, I've noticed some of those C grade sites can turn into B grade sites. And we've done that. We've had some C grade sites, exactly like you said, we just kind of let them sit there, but we still kept working on them. And years later, we sold them for a really good price. One in particular, I bundled it with another one, and it was a six-figure sale, a really good sale to a big company. And because they'd seen this, what I said to Liz, you know, that was, you remember it. She didn't, at the time, she'd forgotten about it. And I said, yeah, that little C-grade site, I was going to say crappy site that we had, I kept at it and just kept posting stuff. And then one day it grew up into a B-grade. This was over about 5 or 6 years. And so it's funny, it can turn into a six-figure outcome, you know. So they can work, but all things being equal, you definitely want to step up. What we notice is when you step on accelerator on the A-grade sites, they can go exponential for you. And that's when things get really exciting. And it can happen relatively quickly once you get the winners, once you get, like, things can ratchet up.
So I just want to dig a little bit deeper that end, because again, I think it's interesting because we're aligned on lots of the ways that we grow sites and how we do things. But when you say step on accelerator, what does that look like if you're going to grow an A-grade site? How would you do that? What do you tell your students?
In this day and age, it's typically content. Everything we do in terms of, we call it renovating websites, like an SEO, search engine optimization these days, realistically, it's a content game, whether you're backlinking or, but so presumably to answer, it's a really good question. To get to that A-grade level, you've dialed in all the on-page SEO, which is you know, your titles, all the usual stuff. You've got all that dialed in. Really, to take it to that next level, what we're really good at teaching our guys is, okay, you want to go to, all of our clients have the 6 and 7 figure, you know, you heard that term BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. And that's what we help people get to. And we say to them exactly what you've asked, you know, they're asking us as well. Okay, how do we take these niche sites up to something big? And what it comes down to is content. But what we've got to do is work back from that. You got to go, okay, you don't just slap on tons of content. It comes down to the real secret, and this is something I'm really passionate about, and you mentioned before, like Google Updates and stuff. This is the way we saw Google Updates. It's all about deep thinking about the website and planning and keyword research and market research. And from that, we design our content strategy. And so what we're doing in our community, and remember too, I guess I'm very focused on this because please remember, anyone listening, my specialty, and Liz, my wife, is content websites. So obviously I'm very biased. I'm not talking SaaS sites or anything like that. So admittedly, this is how we've always made our money, but it is literally coming down to content, high quality content, particularly in these days. And then I guess the volume of the content that we can get out there, depending on our budget and everything. But really, all the other stuff should be dialed in by then. So that's pretty much your bottleneck. And what we've seen across our community, content is the bottleneck. That's why I love you guys. Like, you know, far out, what a beautiful business you've got. Gee, you provide the bottleneck that all of us are experience.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We find the same thing. I think, you know, high quality content, and this could probably open the door for a conversation about AI content if we wanted to go there. Yeah. I don't know if you do or not, but high quality content is key. I think in today's when you're trying to grow a website today, you're competing against sites which are pushing out low quality content, AI quality content that's not even been human read or anything like that. And how do you stand out? How do you say to Google, "Hey, I'm an authority. I actually know what I'm talking about," and it's through the quality of the content. So we're on the same page of how we grow sites that way. In terms of like niche selection and stuff, because this is a question that lots of our kind of beginner or starting out audience say, is help me pick a niche. And it's always a loaded question.
To me, that's the bit I love. Like, I have a lot of fun. It sounds really nerdy, but I do it during my lunch break and stuff. I'm just going down the rabbit hole of all sorts of niches. Obviously, you start out with your passions, but how do you pick a niche? To me, I think it's a funny one to answer. I actually ran a webinar on this today. 2 days ago with our high-level coaching clients. The problem with asking someone like me that is I do it intuitively. So does Liz. Because we've been doing this for so long, it's really easy. Like, I can find really good niches literally over a lunch break, and we're doing that constantly. But then we go into the keyword research behind it. So the answer, because the internet's so big and broad, one of the things we do a lot, though, and we've always done, even when we came online, is try and get to know like an industry and benchmark it bigger, understand what is some of the good niches. So, and we use Google Trends a lot. We're looking for newish trends as well, not the full on overnight sensation trends, but the new big building trends. And I can mention one in a minute that I talked about many, many years ago, and it's been hugely lucrative. But the main tool we look at in terms of coming back to this idea of getting benchmarks of what's working out there, these days, really easy. Here's how we do it. If I can't find a niche, I just go on the Flipper or any of the website brokers. But Flipper's really good because they provide so much data, and there's a really good range. The good thing with jumping on the Flipper is because you can instantly access pretty much all the details about the website, plus see it. You don't have to sign an NDA or anything. So you can literally do it during your lunch break. That's why I mentioned this. Whereas if you, I love all the other brokers, don't get me wrong. The other brokers are there for when you're buying six figure and above. So Empire Flippers or Quiet Light or FE International or any of those guys. Yeah. But the beauty of researching a good niche through one of the brokers is you've got a known benchmark. You don't even have to bother doing full due diligence. It's just, oh, wow, that site. So today, I'll give you an example. I just found on Flipper, like we're doing a webinar with our community, and I just had a quick look at Flipper. Literally in 5 minutes, I found three amazing websites. One of them was in one of my favorite niches, which is the wedding niche, and it's a directory site. Yeah. It's owned by an Aussie. And it's, it's based in France or something. And I just love that sort of stuff. You know, I already know the niche and know straight away that's a good site. He's making like $1,000 a month and he's selling it at a realistic price. But, that's how I actually find them. Literally, I did that before the webinar, but that's typically the sort of thing I might do over a lunch break because I can jump on the Flipper for 5 minutes. And my typical go-to niches are the big evergreen ones, anything in health, wealth and happiness. So like, and by happiness, we love passion niches. We've always made lots of money in those. So anything in hobbies or crafting or work at home, that's a wealth niche where people want to work from home. But hobby niches are great. We've owned golf sites, how to play better golf, and photography, guitar, all that stuff. I know it sounds cliched. I know it's competitive, but far out, there's good money to be made in there, and because people are looking for answers, anywhere where we can help people find answers, that's what we're interested in.
One thing you mentioned there was, I think you said health and wealth. Does that include kind of your money, your life topics? Are you in those spaces? Interesting.
Ourselves, we go into them, yes, but we don't recommend it for beginners. For intermediates and above, it is trickier now, yes, definitely. So there's some of those niches we do avoid. Anything where we say to people, look, just be really careful if you're going to be giving any sort of financial advice at all or medical advice. Obviously, there's legal ramifications, but from an SEO point of view, yes, YMYL, your money or your life sites, are a lot trickier for beginners. And admittedly, actually, that's a really good question, Adam. I think subconsciously over the last year, and Liz has had discussions over the dinner table with the kids, and she's kind of said, Matt, let's not go in those spaces as much anymore. I'm not that interested now. It's a lot harder. Yeah. That is one. It's a really good point. That is one thing that's changed a lot. So, you know, hobby niches are awesome. They're very popular with buyers, and they make really good content sites. Really good content sites. Yeah. Oh, and the niche I was going to mention, Adam, that it might not be to everyone's taste, but hey, it's a trend. We use Google Trends
it?
A lot.
Can I guess it before you say it?
Yeah, go for
can
it.
Can I have a guess? Is it pickleball by any chance?
Oh, that is one niche. Yeah, that our community's about. No, that's a really interesting trending topic. Yes, we've helped quite a few clients in that space, and there's been some good sites for sale. And we found that on Flipper at one of our live events. There was a pickleball site, and I said, "Oh man, look at this!" And actually, the CEO of Flipper mentioned it as well as a good niche too. Okay. The niche that I mentioned at one of our boot camps, it would have been 5 or 6 years ago, here in Australia, CBD oil is illegal.
Okay.
And it's they're just slightly changing the rules now. But what I said, so it's hard for us Aussies to comprehend what's happening in America. America's where we tend to buy all our websites, as I'm sure a lot of your clients would realize as well. And I said at the time, you got to be careful when you're a local person. But I was saying to them, we've got friends who are very successful online, and they're saying, and they're in America, and they're saying, you know, CBD is going to be a big thing. And so we just looked it up, started researching it heaps. And I was talking about it. And then sure enough, this was before it even became legal in America. And then obviously once it became legal in America, it just went through the roof. And now it's a really, there's really good affiliate. Go and look it out. They're going, you know, affiliate offers. But what we also used to talk about as well, once it became legal, I said that was one big mega trend, I think you would call it, where as affiliate marketers, we can get on board with that and make lots of money. But the other trend within that is sub-niching it, which I'm sure you will have seen through, is, you know, CBD oil for pets. Beautiful. Yep. That's the sort of thing we love saying to people, let's find a unique angle here. And that was before that became really popular. And I've helped people who have seven-figure AdSense sites, and they're getting in the pet niche, and they're getting approached by affiliate companies in America saying, do you realize we have really good affiliate offers for CBD or for pets in your niche? And here's the stats. And there's a lot of money in that. So it's fun using Google Trends to find stuff like that.
Do you know, I actually own CBD for dogs as a domain, which I haven't done anything with. It's one of the many that just sit in my account, and I think one day maybe I'll
That's like a fine bottle of wine. There's nothing wrong with sitting on good domain names, but seriously, you should put some good – gee, imagine if you had access to really good content that you could regularly put on that site. You would
imagine?
Laughing.
Imagine that. Imagine we didn't own an agency that did
– Yeah. That's seriously a good domain name, cbdfordogs.com. Jeez.
There was another – is it the doc? I think it's the – I don't own the .com. I don't know if it's – I think it's maybe the .org or the .net. I can't remember.
No, that's fine.
But still okay. Yeah.
Good niche. I can tell you now there's good affiliate offers in that space if you go and look around.
There's another one which I found pretty interesting when I was looking at a while back was it's like a sub-niche of a bigger home decor one was about tiny homes. Yeah. Seems to be a massive movement over the last couple of years with tiny homes. And I saw that. I stumbled across that almost by accident by looking at, I don't know if it was Empire Flippers or one of the marketplaces, a site for sale, all about tiny homes, and they were selling digital floor prints to go and
do
that. And I was like, oh, this is a weird,
cool
place to be in. Ooh. And I looked it up, and it was massive, massive movement. Google Trends were just through the roof.
That's an interesting niche. That's another one that I talked about like publicly at our live events would have been 5 or 6 years ago. And talking about, because people ask me, how do you find these niches? I found that one from watching, I think it was a Netflix thing or something like that. One of the things we learned many years ago in finding good niches, this is off a friend of ours who was a business associate that we bought and sold webs, and we were kind of frenemies online. We're in similar niches, and he's he's just an underground guy, and he used to do a bit of naughty black hat SEO and stuff like that. And so we'd swap notes, and he knew I was big into white hat like content, and I'd buy some sites off him and vice versa. And he said where he gets his ideas for niches, and we've always done this, is by watching late night TV, because he had young kids as well, and you know, kids are up. And he said here in America, so Liz and I've been to America a few times, when we went on holidays in America, we stay up late and do exactly what he would do. You watch the kids, you know, kids can't sleep late, you know, when you've got little bubs. And he would watch late night TV, and anything that was being advertised, you know, all those products in America, I don't think us Aussies and us Brits can appreciate just how big the affiliate market is in America. And he used to say to me, Matt, seriously, all you got to do is watch the telly, late night ads, anything being advertised, particularly if it's being advertised by someone semi-famous even, then go online, see if there's an affiliate product for it. He created a seven-figure affiliate website from scratch based on a healthcare product that back then, it was Kim Kardashian, I think, she wasn't even that famous back then, was advertising on late night TV. And he said it just because he found there were ads for it, and sure enough, there's an affiliate product. And then he built it out in this whole massive big site based around, he suddenly realized skincare, what an awesome niche. Yeah. So finding good niches is sometimes just about sitting around and watching. That's how I found that tiny homes niche, because I discovered that one as well. And both Liz and I go, wow, that's interesting. I wonder if there's affiliate offers. And you can buy tiny homes on Amazon. So there's affiliate comms. And they're expensive.
Home Depot selling them now, aren't they?
They're like 20 or 30 grand or something. And so you can get an affiliate commission. But so we often watch, it's from popular culture, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. But we're at a big disadvantage here in Australia because we're on the other side of the world. We're not up with the new trends. Like sometimes it's very difficult for us to get a feel, but if you constantly keep seeing things being advertised or talked about in the press, just do a bit of a Google search at lunch and just look up, are there affiliate offers? Do a bit of keyword research around it and see what else is out there. And you can pretty much find some pretty cool stuff. And it only takes you like 20, 30 minutes to kind of have a quick look over a niche and go, ooh, there's enough to do some stuff here, and always throw it into Google Trends.
I guess the modern day version of that, rather than the infomercials, is TikTok. I was speaking to someone recently.
Oh, good point.
They were looking for trending direct to consumer brands.
Yeah,
beautiful. And this was in like the health space, and even before this search volume for them, or before you know, you put this brand's name into Ahrefs or Semrush, and there was next to nothing in terms of search volume, but it's because it's so new and it's trending, and they were creating content. There's nobody else creating content or very little competition. And that's all they were doing. They were looking at trending D2C brands, creating review content, and people would watch TikTok and then go and Google the brand name or Google the brand name plus review. And this guy sat with his come up, and he was doing, not all of them had affiliate programs again because they were new, but he was doing really, really well with that strategy.
Yeah. That's like my mate when he built that site, he got the biggest surprise of his life because it then gave him ideas for all these other products, and it was literally discovered by these days the equivalent would be, of course, looking at TikTok. That's a really, really good idea. I'm not into TikTok and stuff, so I don't
start. You get sucked in. I waste hours of my life watching rubbish on.
I'm too old fashioned. I just sit there and also too I just look around. Sometimes I will go to places like affiliate networks, like a favorite of mine, even there's some interesting, let's just say interesting affiliate offers, but in OfferVault, it's just quick and easy to look over. Or in the old days I used to go through CJ a lot and ClickBank looking for info products, and just every so often I'll do a loop through and just see, is there anything in that looks like it's trending or selling well. But OfferVault, for those of you that don't know, it's kind of like a conglomerator in America of American affiliate offers. And you can find affiliate offers in absolutely everything there. Some of it's a bit spammy, but gee, there's some good stuff. You can hit pay dirt in there. It can certainly give you really good ideas on niches anyway, the lucrative niches.
When you mentioned ClickBank there, give me a bit of a shiver down my spine, because when I was first, even before I bought my first, I was just playing around. One of the first sites I ever created was for a ClickBank offer on how to get rid of silverfish. You know, those little...
Now that's niche. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work out very well. It was one of my one of my many failures when I was starting out.
But okay.
I remember that vividly, silverfish.
Yeah. Okay. That is super niche. Okay, that's micro niche.
Yep. Yes. Awesome. Okay, I think that's good. So I guess for people that want to understand a bit more about what you and Liz teach, if they are starting out, because lots of our audience will be kind of, I guess, what you're... ideal profile would look like. They are busy professionals that want to get involved in the space. What do you guys offer to those people, and how is it structured?
Well, we mainly focus on teaching beginners. We obviously have intermediate and advanced. We can help advise people on any size website. But basically what we do is we teach beginners. We take them through a process of how to buy, renovate, and sell websites, because that's literally what we've been doing for the last decade or so. And we run like online lessons, and we've got a study at home online lesson. We've been doing this for many, many years. People can see all the results on our website. We do lots of interviews with our clients. We also teach people how to build websites and to SEO them. As you can hear, I've love SEO. It's kind of my thing. People think of Liz and I as experts in buying and selling websites, but we're also, you know, part of that is SEO. So ranking sites without having to pay for traffic, because of our days of paying. We still do paid traffic, but it's not a big part of our strategy. So what we teach at eBusiness Institute is we also are really big on teaching how to lay out a website so it converts really well as well, because there's too many random sites out there. And so Google, especially in these latest updates, I think that's becoming more important, are looking at the behavior flow through a website, and that helps with conversions, but it also feeds back to SEO, which compounds over the long term. People don't think this through. Like every little extra click that you get below the fold, Google notices. And that then just adds to like your quality score over time. So web design is really important. It's also something we're really passionate about. So we do that all through we run classes on it. But what we've got, Adam, on our website is a masterclass where we just go, it's free. You can go to our ebusinessinstitute.com.au. We're an Australian company. So ebusinessinstitute.com.au/ masterclass. You can just look around on the site. You'll find it. All roads lead to it. But it's totally free. It also talks about the courses that we run at the end of that masterclass. But basically in that masterclass, we just go through our whole strategy, and we also give examples of clients of ours and our own sites of what we do. Basically, it's a high-level view of how we buy, renovate, and sell websites. And that's what we do here.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great. I think what you guys are offering is awesome. And I've actually seen some of your testimonials on the website. Well, I guess they're not even testimonials. They're just interviews with some of your... people that have been through your courses, and they're really successful.
So, yeah.
I think you did a great job.
Yeah, well, I've got to mention my favorite one is Lisa, who bought this simple, but this is typical, because we want to keep people safe. So we get them to start out buying small sites first, and she bought this little site for $2,000, and she didn't even want to work on it. And then she learned on another small site, actually, and I said to her, that site's really, it's in the health niche. It's a really good site. I think you should work at it. And she worked at it. And it was only making $200 a month, like net. And then she got it up to making around $5,000 a month, which is pretty darn impressive. And you'll see on our website, that's when Liz interviewed her, but it's gone way beyond that. It's hit $35,000 a month. And, you know, it's valued at well over $1 million now. So this is out there. That's one of those A-grade websites in your portfolio. But that's the sort of thing it's particularly relevant to you, Adam, because Lisa's only strategy or main strategy is, besides, like I said, the initial fix up of the site, it's content driven. She's just from posting regular content onto the site. So it works. We've got a lot of data on that. We've got lots of students that have built up sites just by posting content, not even focusing too much on backlinking. And we've seen amazing results through that. And that's the process that we teach. As you know, it's probably another webinar in it, you know, or interview in it. But creating good content, there's a process to it. And there's a bit to learn, but that's what we love teaching here. So we teach the nuts and bolts, I guess, of the service that you guys provide.
Yeah, one thing you mentioned there, which is it's actually really important that it's a well-needed, service, I suppose, where you said you keep people safe.
Yeah,
I always remember went back to one of our clients, and it was horrible. She'd bought a site. She'd never bought a site before. She bought a site, said it was monetized with sponsored posts. None of it was real. It was supposedly making around $2,000 a month. She paid good money for that site. And then she brought it to us to create content and then couldn't figure out why it wasn't making any money. We're like, we dug in a little bit. And honestly, she'd just been scammed. And yeah. I imagine that goes on more than people like to admit. So if you teach people how to do the due diligence and how to properly vet and look for a site, I think that's worth its weight in gold if you're looking to acquire sites.
Yeah, and that's something we're super passionate about, because when we very first got into business, that very first little manufacturing business we bought, we had no idea what we're doing, and we totally messed up the due diligence. And we've seen exactly what you talk about. And doing due diligence on a website, obviously there's a little bit more to it. There's some things you need to pay close attention to, particularly in these days. So we have a really big, long process that we go through based on our 35 odd years in business, you know, particularly focusing around due diligence, which involves keyword research and stuff and thinking about what content are you going to put on the site, but also the due diligence, making sure you're not getting scammed. Because the good news online when you buy websites is that everything's tracked. And once you know what you're doing, we've found it a lot easier doing due diligence on a website than on a traditional bricks and mortar business. It's a lot harder to hide stuff with a website, because once you know what you're looking for and once you get experience, but obviously you need that knowledge. You know, you're not going to get that overnight. You got to learn it. So, and in our masterclass on our site, we do show basically the main ways we do due diligence. You know, that, I mean, there's a whole big topic to it, but really we break it down in the essence of what we look at. If you're interested, go and check out the masterclass and you'll see me doing it on some websites and stuff.
Awesome. That's great. I think this has been a great introduction kind of episode. I think we probably could do way more about content and keyword research. So we'll probably get you back on at some point. We can delve a little bit deeper into those topics. But before we wrap up, is there anything I've missed, anything you want to cover, or anything you think, what's your parting advice, I guess?
Parting advice is, you know, from coaching people how to make money online, you know, through buying and selling websites, particularly content or semi-passive websites. You know, the number one thing I've noticed, Adam, it's all in the execution. Just do it. Because so we're really good at teaching people how to do it, but then people have got to get out there and execute. And I guess, you know, things are busy, but so first step is learn how to do this, because in all the businesses, I have a lot of business experience. All my friends are, you know, successful business people, and we're advisors to lots of successful business people. And everything that I've seen in business, nothing to this day, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, I'm not giving financial advice, but nothing beats content or affiliate sites or content sites, in my opinion. They are a lot easier. So get in and learn how to do it. And then if you don't have time to do it yourself, make sure you hire these guys, niche website builders. Like, I'm serious. Understand, learn what you're doing. And then even if you don't have time to get into it, don't sit back and let this opportunity pass. This is a big marketplace. It's getting a lot bigger. All the brokers are telling us that. The data's there. The website deals are getting much bigger now. There's huge, huge opportunities there. And if you've listened to this podcast for this far, obviously you're interested in this stuff. So my number one advice, and it's the number one thing I've seen, the challenge that we've seen over the years, is people just don't get off their butts and do something about it. But now I reckon it's way easier than what it was when Liz and I started over a decade ago online. And there's services like Niche Website Builders to help you. They eliminate the execution risk. You've just got to get out there and do it. So just take some action. That's probably my main number one thing I've noticed. Those that take action win in this game.
Yeah, totally agreed. 100% agreed. Awesome. All right, Matt, well, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on and speaking with me. And I guess enjoy the rest of your evening over there because it's the morning here, so it must be getting late at night there now. So. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your Friday evening, Matt. Thank you very much. Yeah,
thanks so much for having me on, Adam. It's just unreal.
Cheers, Matt. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.